Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast. Today we have Adam Kinney, former technical evangelist for Silverlight and Expression extraordinaire at Microsoft, and currently working with Pixel Labs. And you can reach Adam at adamkinney.com. Adam is also one of the gentlest and kindest people I know. And so as he corrects whatever I just said that was wrong about him, I know he will do it gently. Adam?
Yes. Thanks, Jesse. Thanks for that nice introduction. Very good.
Did I get that wrong about being the technical evangelist?
No, that's right.
Oh, okay, good. Yep. Okay, great. So you were at Microsoft for how long?
I was there for 5 years.
Wow. Okay. And now you're independent.
Yep.
And have agreed to talk with me some about the role of Silverlight and Blend for goofy developers like me who are not the Corey Schumanns of the world who manage to span both developer and designer, but are more developers who really want to get Blend and understand Blend and use it well.
Right. And that's it, like understanding the value of using it, even if you're not a designer type person.
So you want to make a short pitch for what that value is?
A short pitch. Well, geez. So, you know, when I talk about this, I think of it in, I've come up with the 4 stages of Blend acceptance.
Oh, I like that. I like
yes,
that.
Yes.
Like
yes,
grieving.
Exactly. So this is the easiest way to talk about it, I find. So I will just note off the list. There's only 4 items, as I mentioned, and you can kind of figure out where you fit on the spectrum. So the first one is awareness. You know that Blend exists, and you've opened it up before. You've looked at the UI and said, oh, that's really black. I don't want to use that. So that's the first stage.
Okay.
Are you beyond?
I'm beyond stage one,
okay.
I'm happy to say.
Great.
Although it is really dark, unless you switch it to light.
Which isn't my favorite one. That's my favorite theme, that's for sure. So then the next stage is really when you start to become helpful in it, meaning you are working on making your code to make sure it runs well within the Blend Designer. And it's helpful because you're working with somebody else on your team who's using Blend.
Okay.
So you're not crashing the Blend Designer is really what it is.
Got it.
So you're not
working against Blend is stage 2.
Yeah. So okay. It's kind of in the back of your mind as, you know, understanding some of the details there. So then the next level is really when you start to become comfortable with it. And I think that this is definitely where the value can come from it. And some of the obvious places there that I think Blend can offer a lot of functionality is within templating and, of course, animations. And really, like any type of resources as well, like resource management.
Well, let me stop you there for a second before we get to the Kool-Aid stage, which is what I assume is stage 4. But
yes,
talk about in stage 3. So templates, I believe I understand what you mean, and my example of that would always be when you decide that you want to take a button and you want to change the look of that button and maybe even its visual behavior, and you want to interact with the visual state manager. So you want to change what happens when you hover over the button or when you click the button and so on. And there's no question in my mind that not only is it easier to do in Blend, it's nearly impossible to do without Blend. And it's very straightforward to do with Blend.
Right. And you know, one thing to point out there is definitely, like you pointed out, an obvious choice is when you want to change the look of a button. But another really helpful thing that Blend does is that when you have, like say you have a list box on your screen, you can just right-click the list box and up comes the context menu that shows you all of the available templates. So something like the list box has, you know, the item panel template, the item container style, the list box template itself, and all these are, you know, much easier to find when Blend is filtering down your available options for you.
Okay, so finding the templates, changing the look and feel, interacting with the visual state manager, that all falls under templates. And
right,
that interacting with the visual state manager also begins to get into the idea of animations and transitions. And there's no question in my mind there as well that if I'm doing an animation, it just makes almost no sense to do it in anything but Blend. Trying to do that in Visual Studio I have a friend who says you know you can do an appendectomy through your mouth. It just takes longer and hurts more.
So, exactly. Yeah.
But the third one that you mentioned, which was resource management, was right. less obvious to me. So help me with that one.
So this one is where, you know, when you get into like a production style app, you'll have a large amount of resources, and those can be colors or brushes or, you know, control styles. And what you get in Blend is the resources panel, where it would be nicer if they had a couple more tools there so you could actually kind of filter or organize the list. But you get the whole list of all the resources that are available. So that means, you know, application resources, resources specific to user control, or also those in a resource dictionary. And so it's kind of like a, you know, a central place to work with all those. And by working with those, you get access to the name, and then next to the name, you actually get a visual preview, which is really nice, because then if you're like, you know, I need to see the, I know I'm looking for a green brush, but I don't know the name, you get that visual preview in the panel, so you can just find it, you know, visually. So that's the first part, is the organization, as well as getting an idea of what that's for. But then also you can just click right there and say it is a brush, then you get a brush editor right in line. So within the resources panel, you'll get a brush editor, and it'll change that resource within the app.xaml or the resource dictionary or wherever it's located. But again, you're just editing it in line with a visual designer. So you don't have to go find this stuff. It's actually kind of pulled out, extracted for you, and then it just places it all right there.
And if someone were listening to this thinking, hey, that's great, I really need to be able to do that, and they open up their application and they go to their resources, is it going to be obvious how to do that, or where should they go to look to find out how to do that?
So when a project is loaded, the resources panel is on the right side, and then by default, it will have all of the resources loaded. The only thing you may have to do is expand, like it'll have app.xaml. You expand app.xaml, just like a regular tree control, and then it'll show you the full list. And then right there, you'll have the name in the visual preview. So then to edit it, you just click it. I mean, it's kind of simple.
And the editing itself is straightforward and self-evident.
Yes. So I was using a simple example of a brush, which is a great like inline editing experience. But when you get to something like back to that button, you actually be taken, the screen will change from the artboard is what I'm talking about, the big centerpiece. That will change to the actual button.
To the resource editor, like you get when you're editing a template.
Yeah. So going to a more complex example, the list box, let's say you have a list box open and you have some design time data, which is another topic that we should get to. But let's say you have some data that's populating that list box during design time. So in the designer, it looks like there's real data in there. The nice thing is, if you want to edit that resource, the style of the list box template, in Blend 4, a new feature they added is better like content-aware resource editing. So if you are on your user control, there's a list box with data, you right-click and say Edit Item Template, it'll carry through that sample data to your template, which makes it a lot easier to edit the control.
That's great. Now, I made note that you want to go back to talk about design time data, but I interrupted you on your four stages at stage 3, and so we should pop that stack first.
You know, and going back to design time, actually, that takes us all the way back to stage 2, which is something that we kind of flew by.
Yes, we did.
So
your choice.
So starting with
this is a non-linear show, so you can go in any direction exactly. you like.
So from stage 3 to stage 2, stage 2 was about being helpful and not crashing the designer. Some of the really important things to point out there are the is design mode check, you know, where say you have a constructor for your class and you're loading up a bunch of data or it's making a web service call. If you try and open that class within Blend, it's going to crash. But the nice thing that you can do is you can wrap it with this is design mode check. And in Silverlight, it's a static property. It's very easily available. It's just design properties is in design mode. So you just wrap that kind of web service call within this check, and then it won't crash in Blend anymore, because Blend will see that and it'll say, yeah, I'm in design mode. I'm not just going to run this code. So that's the first step. The other thing is...
Wait, I want to stop you there for a second, because we may have just frightened a whole bunch of people into thinking okay. that in order to use Blend at all, you have to do this check around every block of code. So let's just flesh out that idea for a second.
Okay, that's a good idea. Yeah, I don't want to scare everybody. So the idea is that on the design surface, the artboard, when you load up a user control, the Blend is actually calling that class constructor. So that's how it, you know, that's how it makes it visual on the artboard. And all of that code is called. So if you do something like call a web service, you need to wrap it with this is in design mode check. And the thing about that, though, is only the constructor is called. So none of your other code is going to need that design mode check.
And you only need it in your constructor if you're doing something in your constructor that calls out to a web service or to a web function or something that Blend won't have access to.
Right, yeah, at design time. So it's not everything. And one of the, you know, so that sounds anonymous as far as how do you actually know what to do. But one of my favorite tricks is where you load up your project in Visual Studio and you load it up in Blend, and let's say it's crashing on one of those user controls. It's throwing some type of exception that, you know, is kind of anonymous, which sometimes, unfortunately, it is, especially when there's XAML exceptions. If you need to figure that out, then what you can do is in Visual Studio, you attach to a process. So you're debugging, you attach to the Blend executable, and then in Blend, you go and open up that user control. And then when it finds that exception in the Blend designer, it'll actually raise that, it'll throw that exception in Visual Studio and give you more detailed information as well as...
Right, you'll get your call stack and the exception and any messages in the exception. So yeah. That's a nice trick. I like that. And also shows how tightly Expression Blend and Visual Studio can be used together.
Yes. So that's definitely being helpful. The whole debug Blend and Visual Studio trick is awesome. I just used it a couple minutes ago, actually. So there you go.
Oh, good to know you're still crashing Blend.
Yes, exactly. Still doing it. Yeah, that's right.
And what was stage four?
Stage four. All right. From stage two to four. Stage four is when you're loving it. It's this complete elation where you know, I've actually seen people post this on Twitter where they're like, wow, I can't believe I was doing Silverlight without Blend.
I think you saw me post that on Twitter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the reason is, at least what I think a lot of people find, is just that Blend is a really, it does what it does really, really well. For myself, whenever I'm doing any type of UI code, almost always I would say I do that in Blend. But then if I'm editing C# code, I'll be over in Visual Studio. It's just the type of tools that are available in Blend for UI development are amazing. One of the other things that I'd like to point out is we talked about kind of how Blend will go and find the available templates for you. One of my other favorite things that it does is where, let's say you are doing a new style for, say, a list box, and you need to bind an element in your style to a property of the list box. So in Blend, you have that magic little square next to each property. It's called the officially the advanced options square, or I think the advanced options menu. But I always call it the property peg, because it's this little 10 by 10 square that hides all the magic. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, indeed. The first thing on it is usually reset.
Yes, that's right. So, and it's got all these nice indicators. So if it's gray, that means the default value is selected. If it's white, that means that you've explicitly set a value. If it's yellow, that means that it's data bound to something. And then if it's green, it means it's set to a resource. And like you mentioned, when you right click this and bring up this advanced options menu, you get all of this information about, you know, which resources you can bind to. So let's say you have a rectangle and you're on the fill property, and then you click on that, on the property peg, and it'll have like local resources or system resources. And if you click local resources, it'll go out and it'll offer you a submenu to choose. But the nice thing is that submenu is all of the brushes that are available to your user control at that specific stage. So that means, you know, it's loading up your app resources, user control resources, and resource dictionaries, and it's finding all of the specific brush type resources. So you know, if you have a full application, you have like 100 resources, Blend is going to filter that down, that list, down to like 10 brushes, you know, where everything else is a color or a control style or something. The other thing is, when you are working within a style or a template and you need to bind, say, a text property to some property of the control, that's another area where Blend becomes really helpful because it will filter down that list as well. So any, you know, a string, almost everything can be turned into a string, but let's say you're doing like, a Boolean property and you need to bind it to a Boolean property of the control, on that advanced options menu, you'll right click and then you have these binding options of data binding, element binding, and template binding. And template binding will reference actual control that you're building that template for. So then that'll filter that list down just to the Booleans. So,
right.
So even, you know, data binding your templates is easier in Blend. There's so much. I just thought of a whole nother thing. The data panel. We didn't even talk about the data panel.
Please go on and let's talk about the data panel.
Okay. So this fits right along with the binding we were talking about, where I was saying, you know, you use the property peg to just select from this filtered list. But the other cool thing that you can do, and this works very well with MVVM, is let's say you have your view model bound to a view and the view is open in Blend. Well, Blend, if that view model is a resource, like a static resource, I normally use like a view model locator pattern, so it's static, but not really. But once you have, you know, your view is bound to a view model, then Blend will go ahead and look at that view model class, and it'll populate within the data panel this whole data context pane. And in that section, it'll have the whole view model class and, well, the bindable properties and commands from that view model class. So here I have a reader view model, and I have a is menu visible property. So now what I can do, if I want to bind, you know, a menu to the is menu visible property, in the data panel, I can just select the is menu visible property and drag it out onto the artboard and then bind it just from drag and drop.
And does this work only with MVVM code you've written yourself, or can you use one of the libraries or frameworks for MVVM?
If the MVVM library is Blend friendly, then definitely. The one that I'm using in this project that I'm looking at right now is the MVVM Lite framework,
which is I think by far one of the most popular of the lighter frameworks, as opposed to, I was just talking with somebody about the idea of convention over configuration that you see in some of the libraries that do a good bit more for you, but also by doing that hide a lot more from you.
Right. Yeah. I think, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted to try this one out, this is actually the first project I've been running with MVVM Lite. But I know that I'm going to butcher his name, but I'm going to try. You know, the Americanized way is Laurent Bignon.
I think that's pretty close. Laurent, I think, is right. And
no, it's not.
It's not.
Because if you ask him, he'll say Laurent Bignon.
Oh, really?
That's it. Wait, let me try again. Here it comes.
Do it again. Yes.
Laurent Bignon.
Okay, well, that's a show in itself, just that.
Yeah, there you go. So I tried. But he's a great guy, and he made the MVVM Lite framework, and the main goal, I believe, was to make it Blend-friendly.
Yes, it is very Blend-friendly, and he's gone out of his way to make templates available for Blend and so forth, and making that work. So let me switch gears on you slightly and ask you this. I'm doing a couple series of tutorials for Windows Phone 7 programming, and I note, as you are speaking, that I have yet to break out Blend, and we're up to tutorial number, I don't know, 6 or 7 by this point. And so am I doing a tremendous disservice on that?
Yes.
And I should have been in Blend long ago.
Like I mentioned, it's like pair programming. You have to have both tools open all the time.
Okay, right from the beginning.
that's my rule, so, yes. Right, I mean, that's for me, right? I'm a UI guy. If I was doing all services work, I wouldn't need it. But it's just, that's my workflow. So you're missing out. And the fact that it's free. Isn't that crazy? Expression Blend for Windows Phone is free.
Right. It's part of the phone tools that are available, all of which are free, including a version of Visual Studio for Phone Express and a version of Expression Blend tools for phone, as well as the phone toolkit. All of that is just, we're just giving that away. What are we thinking?
I think it's amazing because the thing that I was thinking about, you know, like as far as like what the Windows Phone has to offer beyond its stunning UI and other general awesomeness, but the development environment compared to other mobile environments is awesome. You know, a tool like Blend to do the UI is not something that you get for other phone platforms. And the fact that that's free, that's just awesome. I think that's so cool. It was actually brought up at a talk that I was doing, and I didn't know it. And I was like, no, it's not free. Why would we do that? That's crazy. But it is.
And what I like about this is you're no longer Microsoft, so no one can accuse you of shilling at this point.
That's right. This is totally authentic awe.